The Cleaner, Episode 3, The Jacket, by Inger Gammelgaard Madsen, translated by Martin Reib, narrated by Chris Jenkins for Saga. Bertram winced when the doorbell rang. He hurriedly put out his cigarette before opening the door. Felix walked straight in, and they silently went to Bertram's room. "Did you see those videos?" Bertram asked in a hoarse voice. He had been unable to reach Felix all weekend. He and his parents had been to Sweden to celebrate his 16th birthday with his grandparents, who lived there, and his mobile was not set up for international calls. "Are you sure they're real?" Felix asked, swallowing visibly a couple of times. "Both a suicide and a car accident been mentioned in the newspaper and on TV. And it turns out that's not what either of them really are." "What the hell are we going to do, Felix?" Bertram sat on his bed, looking sadly at Felix. He was the intelligent one in the group, and on the phone he had completely agreed that they should definitely not go to the police and risk turning the spotlight on themselves. "We'll have to find out who owns the jacket. If we can work that out, then maybe we can find a way to report him to the police." "But we don't even know if it's the owner of the jacket killing these people." Felix sat down at Bertram's desk chair and scratched his blonde hair. Today it was not tied in a bun but flowed free to his shoulders. "The flash drive was in his jacket. Why else would he be walking around with it?" Bertram agreed. It was nice to finally be able to talk to someone about it. He and his mum had been upset with each other for several days now. When that happened, they wouldn't talk to each other and kept away from each other as much as they could, which was a difficult undertaking in a small two-bedroom flat. But it wasn't as if she believed what he said anyway. When he had finally managed to convince her to look at the secret page on his laptop, the internet connection was down due to a server error with their provider, and Eva Mayer had shaken her head and again called him a liar with a vivid imagination. She accused him of probably having set up the page himself to attempt to frighten others. "It's not as if it's anything to do with you anyway, Bertram. A prison guard and an attorney, and you don't know either of them. Perhaps he deserved to die, just like that bloke your dad killed." Bertram winced at being reminded of his dad and shook his head.
"But what about the new addition to the list, Carl Dalarup? He's related to that attorney, her dad. I saw it on the local news. They'd done a commemorative report on her where they mentioned it. He's a right big shot as well. A high court justice or something."
Felix turned towards his laptop and opened a browser window. Bertram saw him typing Carl Dalarup into the search field.
"What are you doing?"
"Trying to find his telephone number. Then you can call him and warn him."
"I can... No, what would I say? Not like he's going to believe me anyway."
"It's a fairly unusual name. Must be this one. Eva mentions that he's a Supreme Court justice."
Felix showed him the telephone number on the screen. Moving as in a daze, Bertram took his phone out of his pocket and began dialing the number. Then he froze and looked desperately at Felix.
"I can't do it, Felix. What am I going to say? Can't you do it? You're so clever and...
You were the one who stole the jacket. This is your fault."
"My fault? You're the one who fucking hacked your way into the network. Right, because you asked me to do it. Give it fucking rest. How is it my fault you're always showing off with your hacking skills?"
Felix stood up from the chair so rapidly that it rolled across the carpet and hit the wall with a thump. He stomped out of the room, leaving Bertram alone on the bed, staring at the telephone number on the display of his phone.
"Fucking hell,"
he shouted, throwing it down on the bed. Felix had only said one sensible thing, that it was nothing to do with him. Of course it wasn't. What business was it of his that a Supreme Court justice might die? It was almost certainly a pompous tosser who would put him in jail if the opportunity arose. And that opportunity might be tracking the call to his phone, and finding out he had been the one to call and tell him that his life was threatened. No bloody way. Though of course, he might use the phone the handler had given him. It was prepaid and couldn't be traced. The Hawks had received one each.